Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
So good morning. Can you reach out to God? Yes, you can. You're amazing. Look at you. You're very good at that. That's incredible. Reach out. God, we just thank you that you're alive. God, you're alive and your church is alive. Your spirit is alive. Jesus, you're alive. You're not dead. You're not dormant. You're not distant, but you're alive. And so we thank you, Lord, fill us afresh with your life, God, with your presence, with your peace. Thank you, Lord, for freedom. Father, you came to set us free so that we would be free. You brought freedom. Father, you set us free from sin, from every ensnarement, Lord, so that we can be fully free in who you've called us to be. And so we pray today, Lord, let every personality, God, let every person, let every character, let every type of person, from the sanguine to the introvert, every personality, Lord, let every person here come alive in their gifts, come alive in the spirit, come alive in the call. God has a call on your life. God has a dream for your life. And we're here for it. And so we thank you, Lord, let every child be blessed. Lord, every baby in the baby corner be blessed in Jesus' name. Lord, let our kids be blessed today. Fill them with your spirit. Lord, let our teenagers, God, be so confident and clear in their identity in Christ. Lord, that when the world puts pressure on them, they would know who they are and they would know whose they are. They know they belong to Jesus. And so we thank you, Lord, you're our high priest. We have direct access to you. We want to know you more. Come on, church. You want to know God more? Lord, we are hungry for you. Lord, we want to be set free from things. Lord, so we can fully know you and fully be you've called us to be. So we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, they all said, come on, they said a good amen. Amen. Come on. They said amen. Amen. Well, grab a seat, and I'm excited. So good to be here. And Jeff, I think there's about 300,000 people in this room right now, isn't it? And I love you. What a man. Okay, guys, so we are in a campaign called Idols and Ideologies. How are you going? Are you enjoying it? Is it good? We're just talking about the real stuff around here, aren't we? We're talking about idols and ideologies. And today, we're going to tackle a bit of a hairy one, a bit of a tricky one. But as your pastor, I'm not afraid to talk about the things that are real. Amen? This is real. This is the stuff we're dealing with every day. And we're going to talk about it. Why? So you can be free. Jesus wants you free. And idols, they come to entrap us. They come to get us stuck. They come to rob us. You are meant to be fully free in God and fully immersed in the nature and the goodness and the love of God. But idols come and they steal our attention. What is an idol? You ask. Good question. An idol is anything more important to you than God. I love Arsenal Football Club. We're coming first. I mean, if this was ever going to be an idol in my life, it'd be now. We're finally winning. And then I have to preach about a campaign about idols and ideologies. Thanks, God. No, but it's true because even an idol isn't just bad stuff. You know, we think, oh, it's bad, evil stuff. It can be good stuff. It can be your job. It can be your marriage. It can even be our children. They can become an idol in our life. Anything that has made God second is an idol. Tim Keller says it like this: anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, anything you seek to give you what only God can give you, is an idol. I would encourage you to read this book by Tim Keller. It's called Counterfeit Gods. It'll bless you. Really helpful. So we're going to talk today about the idol of lust. Yes, I said it. We're talking about the idol of lust. And we need to talk about this. And this is not about just talking about don't do this and don't do that. We're going to talk about the virtue that sets us free from the idol of lust. So we're going to read 1 Corinthians. You got your Bible? Come on, talk to me, church. You got your Bible? Yeah. Grab your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we got a big one on this screen so you can read on. And who's on a digital device today? Anybody using it? Yeah, digital, okay. Anybody with a leather-bound Bible? Rich mahogany Bible. Anybody? Yeah. Wow. I love it. All right. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 13 in the ESV. I'm reading the ESV. You read whatever you like, but I'm reading the ESV. No judgment here. You choose. Okay, yeah. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am zilch, nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I even deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Here's the list of what love is. You ready? This is it. You ready? What love is, here it is. Love is patient and love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful, unless it's in traffic. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. We are called to be childlike, not childish. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Fully known. Verse 13. So now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is, come on, church, say it with me, is love. Love. Here's the thing. Lust is centered on getting. Love is centered on giving. Lust kills love. But good news, love kills lust. So we can be free from lust when we embrace the virtue of love. A lifestyle focused on love will be a lifestyle that can live free from the idol of lust. You know what it says here in the description of what love is? It says love is patient and kind. Love does not envy. Okay, so I turned to the ALV, the Alex Lee version, and I just made this up to help, but I hope it helps. But it's not heresy, just don't judge me, but it's just, I hope it's helpful. So I got the word lust, and because lust is the opposite of love. You know that, right? Everything that love is, lust is the opposite. How you doing? So if we change it, kind of could read, possibly, like this. Lust is impatient and unkind. It envies and it boasts. It is arrogant and rude. It insists on its own way. It is irritable and resentful. It is indifferent to wrongdoing and it distorts the truth. It doesn't cope with much. It has no faith. Lust doubts and it quits when the going gets tough. Woo! Woo! Make that a version. Here's the thing. This is what lust does, and this is why the enemy is so intent on pushing and feeding and peddling lust into every medium and every atmosphere, and anywhere you look, lust will be there, because this is a scheme of the devil. It is one of the greatest schemes of the devil. The devil. He is using this scheme to get us entrapped. Why? Because the enemy hates love. He wants to erode love. Why? The enemy hates love because love is eternal. It is eternal. It lasts forever. So the devil wants to get in, and he wants to cause us to focus on lust, on getting rather than giving, because getting now is temporal and it won't last. You can get, and you can't take it to heaven. You will never be fulfilled and fully satisfied in this life with getting. But if you live a life of love, giving, it'll be with you forever. Everything you give for God to people in this life will last into eternity. You might prophesy and it won't last, but if you prophesy out of love, it'll be there forever. This building will not last forever, but the love in the building, the love for God, the love for each other, a church on fire, it'll last forever. It'll last for eternity. This is why the devil hates love, because it's eternal. And guess what? You are made for eternity. You are not made for temporal. You are not made just for this life, but lust gets us focused on just this life. But God wants you focused on the next life, the eternal life that you have now in Christ Jesus. How you doing? I'm having fun. So the enemy hates love. Why? Because it is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20:35. In all things I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So the enemy wants us focused on receiving. Receive. I need. I've got to take. He wants us in that posture so that we are never fully blessed. Contentment and real blessing in this life is not found in getting. It is found in giving. And this is why the enemy hates love. You know why else the enemy hates love? He hates love because love is the greatest commandment. Matthew 22:37-40, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's interesting. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Everything God has called us to is summed up in these two commandments. Love God, love others as you love who? Yourself. Yourself. Your ability to love others is going to be connected to your ability to love self. If you find it hard to be loving, it may be how you feel about yourself, and therefore it is a projection on other people. But you need to learn, we all need to learn the love of God. God loves me. Church, you know that God loves me? He loves me so much, it's ridiculous. God loves me so much, and he loves you so much. And you should be confident in it, not hating yourself, not hating your body, not hating who you are. You should accept and receive the love of God, and out of that, you'll be able to love others well. The enemy hates love. Why? Because God is love. Hey, God isn't loving. He is love. Love is not just something he does when he feels like it. Love is who he is. Everything he is love. If you have God, you have love. If you don't have God, you don't have love. God is love. This is why the devil hates love. And this is why he is peddling and pushing lust to distort sex, to distort sexuality. He wants to get in there and ruin our understanding. He wants it to become a misplaced and a missed, out of context thing. I mean, in the world we live in, sex is on a pedestal. Everyone all right? We're going to talk about sex. You okay? We're talking about the real stuff. Sex is on a pedestal. Like your life is really only going to be whole if you've had sex. That sex is the goal. But here's the interesting thing. This is in the church and outside of the church. Outside of the church, it is that sex is the goal, and the greatest thing you can gain in life is sex or your sexual identity. In the church, often it has been that marriage is the goal. Marriage is a wonderful thing. Marriage is awesome. Where are all the married people at? Marriage is awesome. Marriage is awesome. But it is not the goal. If you are single, marriage is not the goal. Because sometimes in church you can be like, well, it's all marriage is the goal. Therefore, if you're single, there's something wrong with you. If you're single, there is nothing wrong with you. Oh. There is not. The Apostle Paul was single. Jesus, single. I mean, if you're single in the house, just use that. Shut up. Jesus was single. And I've still got a purpose, and God has a plan, and God's going to use me. I don't have to be married to be known and fully whole by God. Don't get me wrong. Being married, great thing. It is a beautiful picture of Jesus and his church. Sex within the bounds of marriage between a man and a woman is a beautiful picture of Jesus and the church. Intimacy and oneness. But marriage is not the goal. Oneness with Jesus is the goal. And on this side of eternity, marriage is a great picture of that, but you can be single and still be fully known and fully whole. And you can have that intimacy with God without having to be married. It's an idol. In the world, it's different. It would be that sex is the thing. And it would be that this idea of sex is that sex is just a physical act. But sex is not just physical. Sex is an act of the soul. And so to just be going from one physical sexual experience to the other is not limited to your physical body. It is actually your soul engaging in these experiences. You are giving away a piece of your soul. This is why God designed marriage, that there is bounds. So that you are not giving away a piece of your soul, but actually it is given to one. And there is union, and there is safety, and there is connection. It is made for the bounds of marriage. Why? Because it's better. This is not, listen, church, this is not just about right and wrong. Oh, well, Pastor Alex said, can't have sex before marriage. It's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. This is not just about wrong, right. This is about better. This is about God's design. This is about his way. Why? So that you can be blessed and fully free and fully known. But you will find yourself given here and given there, and your soul will be shattered into pieces. Because sex is not just an act of the flesh. It is an act of the soul. And so we need this idol in the church and in every sphere. We need to be clear about the bounds and the blessing and the rightful positioning of sex. It is a good thing. Sex is a good thing. We grew up in, you know, like church and Christians, right? And if you've grown up as a Christian, it can be like, well, it's bad, wrong. Don't do that, don't do that. And what we've heard of growing up with, don't do that, don't look at that, don't think that, don't go there, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And we just start thinking that our bodies and that sex is bad. It's not. God created it. He owns it. And the devil, through lust, is trying to distort it and steal it. But I say the church ought to get back at the devil and steal and kill and destroy everything he's been doing, because this belongs to God. And it is not meant to be the thing we worship or live unto. We are meant to live unto Jesus and put sex in its rightful place. How you're doing? You doing all right? Amen. But we live in the world, and in the world, lust is very pervasive. You don't have to do much to stumble across lust and stumble across some kind of thing that is going to pull you in. Some kind of thing that's going to get hold of you. Instagram is great, but it is also Satan. You know, it is unbelievable. It's always trying to get you. The enemy is trying to get you. He's trying to get your attention and pull you into lust to erode love. So I want to give you three preventative habits. You ready for this? Super practical. This is pastoring Alex today. 1 Peter 5, pastoring Alex, like Pastor Alex, yeah. 1 Peter 5 to 8 to 9. Peter's talking, he says, be sober-minded. Be watchful. So be on guard. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Isn't that amazing? When you are facing lust, when you're facing something that's got a hold of you, you think it's just you. The devil wants you to isolate yourself. No one else would be facing this. Rubbish. And the best place you can be is the church. I mean, people would think, well, you know, I'll go to church when I get my life sorted. What do you think we're all doing? Oh, no, that's right. We're all perfect, yeah. And have everything solved. No. Church is for the broken. Church is for, we are not better than anybody. We just have Jesus. And we think, oh, well, you know, maybe I'll serve God when I get my whole life perfect. Rubbish. Read the Bible. Read about some of the people that served God. Their lives were a mess. God can use you. But there are some things we need to have in place so that we guard ourselves against the idol, against the spirit of this world that wants to pull you and entrap you in lust in order to kill love in your life. Three preventative habits. You ready? Number one, don't fight temptation. Flee from it. Don't fight it. Run. 1 Timothy 2:22. Paul says to Timothy, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness. Flee and pursue faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. When you face temptation, it is not the time to fight. When you face something, it's pulling you away. Don't fight, run. Flee temptation. Flee environments that pull you into lustful things. Flee. Run. Run away. Run, Forrest. Run. Get out of there. What are you doing hanging out thinking, oh, I'll be all right. I've got enough inner will and strength and I'm anointed and I'm appointed and all this Christianese, shut up. Run. Run. Do what Joseph did in Potiphar's wife's house. Genesis 39, 11 to 12. But one day when he went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house were in there, she, Potiphar's wife, caught him by his garment saying, lie with me. But he left his garment. He just left his garment in her hand and he fled and got out of the house. He did not reason. He did not argue. He did not tell her, how dare you? I rebuke you. I resist in Jesus' name. Shut up and run. How's everyone doing? Shut up and run. You're not that good. You're human. You have flesh. Run. Flee. Put boundaries in your life that help you run, that help you flee from lust. I've, like I was saying, Instagram, I mean, it's great, woohoo, but it is also Satan. It is just pumping videos and content at you all the time, trying to grab your attention. And there's so much rubbish on there. This is what I have done, okay? I'm not saying you have to do this, but I'm saying this is what I have done because I am a human. And I am not gonna, I gotta flee that thing. I'm running away. Here's how I do it. If I'm gonna post something on Instagram, I post it and then I delete Instagram straight away. Don't judge me. You need to do the same. You need to do the same. That thing is a vortex from hell. So I post because I want to share what's happening with you all. I love you all. I want to connect on the social media, on the YouTube, you know, on the World Wide Web, you know. And so I want to connect. So what I do is I post something and then I just get out of there. Just get out of there. Flee. Flee. Flee Netflix. Flee. There is so much trash on Netflix, guys. Flee. Don't be in there just idly scrolling. Flee. You're not that good. You're not that tough. Run. Run. Amen. Is that enough on that one? Okay. Don't fight temptation. Flee from it. Number two, don't conceal. Confess. Oh, it's too real today, isn't it? Don't conceal. Confess. 1 John 1, 5 to 9 says, this is a message we've heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Go down to verse 9. Verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, confess, confess. James 5, 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So, I confess to God for forgiveness and cleansing. I confess to another for healing. This is why you need community. Because you can be confessing to God, but never be confessing to a confidant, to have people trusted voices in your world, and you might be forgiven, but you're still stuck. You're forgiven, you're cleansed, made righteous by Jesus, but you're still stuck because you've got something that needs healing. But the only way, church, the only way to real healing is light. The only way for God to really heal is for there to be exposure, for there to be light. And you cannot do that when it's in the dark. You can't mold groves in the dark. And guess what? If you turn away from it and don't look at it, it doesn't make it any better. It doesn't disappear. It gets worse. So the lifestyle, confession is a part of being a Christian. Having good people confess to God, confess to others for healing. This is why you need Connect Group. This is why just sitting in a row will not be enough for your faith to grow and be healthy. You need community where you can sit in circles, where you can talk to somebody and you can confess. And you don't confess once a year. You know, like you just store up a big list, like a shopping list. Like you haven't been shopping your whole life and you just store up a list and you're going to confess this one big list. Don't do that. Horrible. Short accounts. Confess the little things. Confess things at seed form. Don't wait for them to be a tree where you have to get an excavator out. And you need the whole village to come and dig that root out. Don't wait. How you doing, church? Don't wait. Deal with it when it's little. When it's just that little sneaky thought, just deal with it then. I have a guy in my life who's been my accountability confession guy since I was 15 to this day. And now I'm 16 and it's going awesome. and I can fit. Anything, little, just a little thing. Sometimes I feel so dumb. I'm like, bro, I just feel like I need to. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're fine, mate. Shut up. Or something bad. I'll be like, oh, and look, you need to confess and do it quickly and do it constantly. Do it as much as you got to do it. Find someone who loves you because this guy, he's a friend of mine. He doesn't even live here anymore. He moved away, the punk. And so I call him. I call him and I told him, I do whatever it takes. My life, my call, our church, our future, my family. It's too important. It is too important to let a stupid little idol of lust, a little scheme of the devil, that little snitchy devil, to use one little thing as a hook to get me. I can't let it. So therefore, I'm a walking confession box. I am confessing, confessing, confessing. Anything that could have any hold on my life, I want to get light into it. I want light on it. Why? Because light is therapeutic. Light brings healing. Light brings deliverance. Light brings freedom. And so we want the light to shine so that we are not stuck. Last thing, and then I'm done. Preventative habits. Don't fight temptation, flee. Don't conceal sin, confess it. And last one, intentionally grow in love. Intentionally grow in love. Why? Paul said, flee youthful passions, pursue love. So often as a Christian, we are in the headspace of what I should not do. And people ask you, you know, like, so what is it? What does it mean to be a Christian? What do you do? Well, often we'll tell people what it means to be Christian by the things we don't do. You talk to anyone in the world, well, they go, oh, yeah. I mean, if I've become a Christian, then I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do this. And it sounds terrible. It's all about what you shouldn't do, what you can't do. Here's the thing, church. You move towards what you focus on. I've told this story before. I'm going to tell it again. I was riding a bike once. Anyone like bike riding? Okay. And I was riding the bike, riding down the street, came up to a red light. There's a whole park. All these cars, and they come, they park at the red light. Like hundreds of cars. Tens of thousands of cars, Jeff. And I parked, and I'm riding down the footpath, and there's a big pole in the middle. Like who put the pole in the footpath when this guy, coming home from school with his backpack on, still trying to ride home? and I'm riding and I see that everyone has stopped and I see the pole and all I can think is, do not hit the pole. They are all going to be, it's going to be an audience watching you hit the pole. It'll be the most embarrassing thing in your life to date. I was young and I'm riding and the pole's there. Don't hit the pole, 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 don't hit the pole. What did I hit? I hit the pole. So many of us, don't look at that. Don't think that. Don't go there. Don't say that. Don't go there. Don't watch this. Don't watch that. Don't do that. Can't do that. Don't do that. Don't go there. Go there. And this is the soundtrack of your Christian faith. And it is boring and it is powerless. You need a faith that is, I am going to. This is what I am doing. This is where I am going. This is what God does have for me. This is who I am. Focus on where you are going. Pursue righteousness. Pursue life, God, and love. Intentionally grow in love, and you'll find that lust dissipates. You'll be like a sponge that is full. There is no room, no room left, because I am full of God's love. Can you close your eyes? As we close, we're going to do three things. This is between you and God. First thing we're going to do is recognize the idol in our life. So I want you to do this right now. If that's you, if you need to recognize, has lust got into your life? The taking, the getting. Has sex become a pedestal? Has it become something that's more important than God? Something you rely on, something you need more than God. Take a moment right now. Recognize it. Where is it? Is it there? Just between you and God. No talking, no looking around. So recognize it. You can't be free from what you won't recognize. Number two thing we're going to do right now is repent. Recognize it. Now repent. What is repentance? Repentance is turning 180 degrees, changing your mind, metanoia, changing, turning, repenting. Don't excuse it. Don't explain it. Yeah, but. But if that, but this, but that, but they, but them, but they, but this, but they. Don't explain it. Repent. Don't try and diagnose your old dead self. Take your old dead self and put your old dead self back in the grave. Repent. Release it. Do that now in your heart between you and God. Say, Lord, we repent. Father, if the idol of lust has got into our lives, we repent right now. We turn. We're sorry. It's not what we want, Lord. We want you. We repent. And the last thing I want you to do is reorder your life around the virtue of love. Think of one thing right now. Think of one thing right now, this week, for you to grow in love. What would it look like for you this week to grow in the love of God for your life? To grow in love for your spouse? To grow in love for a friend? You know how you grow love? You do love. Love is a verb. Love grows as you do it. What's one thing? Maybe in your marriage, what's one thing? What did you used to do when you first fell in love? What did you used to do when you first gave your life to Jesus Christ? I used to play guitar out of tune in my bedroom and sing horrible songs of worship to Jesus by myself. And any time I need to do that, I go there. I shut my room and I go and I just sing and worship. What did you do at first? You've fallen away from your first love. Go back. How? Do the things you did when you first fell in love. When you first stepped in to that love of God. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father. We want to grow in love. We want to pursue and be full of your love, of grace and truth. Maybe you're here today and you've never received the love of God. You've never said yes to Jesus Christ. This is the last thing and then we're going to go. If you have never said yes to Jesus, you've never received him as your Lord and Savior. Right now is your moment. You need to make him Lord. You need to let him do what only he can do. You can't save yourself. Only Jesus can save you from sin. So right now, if you need to say yes to Jesus, here's your moment. Here it is. Count of three. One, two, three. Raise your hand if that's you this morning. You need to receive Christ today. We want to help you. If that is you, if that is you, if that is you, a couple more seconds. If you're online, you need to receive Christ. Put it in the chat. Say, that's me. I've been going one direction. I've been living my own life. I need to come back to Jesus. I need to make him Lord. I need to repent. I need to turn. 5 seconds, church. 5 seconds. Five, four, three, two, one. Say this prayer with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. I turn from sin. I turn to you. I receive forgiveness. I receive eternal life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, church, can you stand up with me? As you stand, can you reach out one more time? We thank you, Lord, for freedom, for release. Every idol, we cast you down. In Jesus' name. Every evil spirit, we bind the power of pornography, of anything that is a scheme of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy love. We thank you for the grace of God, for the power of the Holy Spirit, and for the blood of Jesus that washes, that cleanses, that renews, and sets the captives free. Every captive free here today. Every captive free. Every captive free right now. In Jesus' name. You listen, you devil. Get out. 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 Be gone. Be gone. Be gone, you evil spirit. Be gone in Jesus' name. We are washed, cleansed, and renewed in the blood of Jesus. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, but there is freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom from every demon. Freedom from every evil. Freedom from every lying, deceitful spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.